From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will continue a series on the lives and ministries of the Apostles of Christ. We hope you will find the messages to be encouraging and helpful as you see how God can use ordinary people in the work of His kingdom. Before we hear from Dr. Cairns, we invite you to enjoy a brief devotional thought from Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening, followed by some beautiful sacred music.
This morning's text is found in Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. With His stripes we are healed. Pilate delivered our Lord to the lictors to be scourged. The Roman scourge was a most dreadful instrument of torture. It was made of the sinews of oxen, and sharp bones were intertwisted every here and there among the sinews, so that every time the lash came down, these pieces of bone inflicted fearful lacerations and tore off the flesh from the bone. The Savior was, no doubt, bound to the column and thus beaten. He had been beaten before, but this of the Roman lictors was probably the most severe of his flagellations. My soul, stand here and weep over his poor, stricken body. Believer in Jesus, can you gaze upon him without tears as he stands before you, the mirror of agonizing love? He is at once fair as the lily for innocence and red as the rose with the crimson of his own blood. As we feel the sure and blessed healing which his stripes have wrought in us, does not our heart melt at once with love and grief? If ever we have loved our Lord Jesus, surely we must feel that affection glowing now within our bosoms. See how the patient Jesus stands, insulted in his lowest case. Sinners have bound the Almighty's hands and spit in their Creator's face. With thorns his temples gored and gashed send streams of blood from every part. His back's with knotted scourges lashed, but sharper scourges tear his heart. We would fain go to our chambers and weep, but since our business calls us away, we will first pray our Beloved to print the image of his bleeding self upon the tablets of our hearts all the day, and at nightfall we will return to commune with him and sorrow that our sin should have cost him so dear.
Thank you.
Are you looking for guidance and help in your study of the Bible? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Today on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies on the lives of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this message, his focus is on Matthew, also known as Levi. By occupation, Matthew was a publican, a tax collector in the employ of the Romans. As such, he was hated by his own people, for publicans used their position to extort unreasonable sums of money from their countrymen. As Levi the publican, he was a greedy, miserable man. But one day Jesus Christ looked upon him with pity and grace. In an instant, Levi was transformed into Matthew, the follower of Christ, who eventually became one of the 12 and authored the gospel which bears his name. As Dr. Cairns looks at the life of Matthew, he sounds a note of warning against the destructive power of the love of money. Now to continue this message entitled, Matthew, Saved from Greed of Gold by the Gift of God, here is Dr. Cairns.
Now I hope you're getting the picture of what a tax gatherer, a farmer of taxes, would have to be in the days of Levi. And that is what this young Jewish man became. The Bible does not paint all the details of his youthful development, but it doesn't take much of an imagination to see a young man growing up and looking around for opportunity and dissatisfied with the normal and with the legitimate and the honorable occupations that were open to him, with a heart that was greedy for gold and longing for all that gold could buy. He sells himself to the most iniquitous system that a Jew could conceive. He became a truly odious man, a shame on his nation, a shame on the parents who gave him birth, a shame on a family name, and a shame on himself. A man as morally rotten as you'd ever want to meet. You see, the greatest moral scoundrels are not the prostitutes and the pimps who are walking the streets. I make no apology for their iniquity. But those consumed with that inner lust that can break families, smash homes, bring decent men to suicide because of their clever business dealings. They can tramp souls into hell and bodies into the dust to line their pocket. I tell you, they are as vilely immoral and wicked as human beings can become. And that was Levi, the son of Alphaeus. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to call sinners to repentance. This is what he says. Healthy people don't need a doctor. Righteous people don't need a savior. Sinners, odious sinners, depraved sinners, shameful sinners whose lives are as black as the outer darkness of hell, they need a savior. And the Lord Jesus came to call sinners to repentance, even the most odious. And he called Levi. Now, we're not told whether Levi ever heard the Lord Jesus preach prior to that moment when the Savior called him. I would say that it was probable. After all, everybody was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. It was impossible for this young man to sit in the receipt of custom, thronged by the milling crowds and hearing the conversation without being aware of the one the hymn writer called the Stranger of Galilee. I think it very probable that he went to hear him. What an impact the words of Jesus Christ must have made on a man like Levi, the son of Alphaeus. Here he comes, consumed with a lust for gold, and yet with a great vacancy in his heart, an emptiness that all his full coffers couldn't fill. And he hears one speak as never man spake. He hears him say, take no thought of what you'll eat and drink and put on. Take no thought for tomorrow. Seek first the kingdom of God and of his righteousness. How strange these words sounded in the ears of a money-grubbing, gold-grasping person like Levi. But hear Christ or not, he returned to his toll booth. As many a person, some included in this meeting, have heard again and again, and their hearts have been smitten and stricken, and their consciences have been touched, and it seems that something worthwhile, something of eternal significance is taking place in their lives. God is holding a conversation with their soul. He is reasoning with them about their sin, and yet they turn away from what they hear. And like Levi, they go back to their toll booth. They go back to the old ways. There came a day, however, when the Lord Jesus Christ passed that way. The people had just said, we have seen strange things today. Well, they were just about to see stranger things. What they had seen was a sinful man whose sin had paralyzed him, released from the paralysis and released from the sin. We have seen strange things today. Now they were about to see a greater miracle of grace. As this publican, hated and despised by his fellow men, and if he could only ever face up to it, hated and despised by himself, was loved by the Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ came He saw him. He looked on him. He saw him. He knew him for what he was. Without any misapprehension or miscalculation, understanding everything that was in the heart of that man behind the receipt of custom, he saw him. And he called him. And he left all and followed Christ. And as I read this, you know, it's a wonderful example of conversion because the change was instantaneous and complete. You remember we were speaking last time about Nathanael or Bartholomew. This is going to the other end of the scale. There we were dealing with a man who was in saving covenant with God. Here we have a man who had trampled the truth brought to him through his upbringing. He had trampled it into the dust. Here we had a man, and he was sold to sin and lust in himself. But he was equally well saved and totally changed. He left the seat of custom. His love for filthy lucre instantaneously was taken from him, and just as instantaneously, it was replaced by an overwhelming love for Christ. Then we read that he followed Christ. And as I read on, I find that Matthew, as he became, presented as fair a representation of the Lord Jesus Christ, his master, as any disciple ever could. If you look at this, you'll find that he had his master's love for sinners in his heart. So he made a great feast, and he invited the publicans, and as Luke says, and others. We'll have more to say about the others in just a minute. The publicans and others to meet the Savior. Now, you know, that is the only distinctive action of Matthew's ever recorded in the Gospels. It's enough, however, to show us what the transforming grace of God can do in a man. There was only one other notable thing that Matthew, we know for certain, did. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe there were many, many notable things that he did. They're simply not recorded for us. We have no way of knowing what he did, where he did it, and when he did it. There's not even a reliable early church history or decent mythology upon which you could rest a case for what he did. No doubt he had the common experience of all the apostles. He waited for the day of Pentecost. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. He stood for God in Jerusalem. He stayed there with the apostles. He continued to preach Christ. And then when the time came to move further afield, he went further afield, preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have no doubt that, like all the apostles, he had all those experiences. But there's just one thing that we know he did, and that is, by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he penned us that first of the four gospel narratives, the gospel of Christ the King. Alexander White, a great Scottish preacher who, to a large extent, certainly not exclusively, but to a large extent, has made his reputation as an expositor of the characters of Scripture. Alexander White said the only thing that he took with him out of his old occupation was his pen and ink. He left it all behind, but he still, with pen and ink, gave us the Gospel of Matthew. Now, there in a nutshell, you've got the story of Levi, Matthew the Apostle. I want us to think of that story and just point out a couple of things very simply tonight. As we think of Matthew, delivered from greed of gold, by the gift of God. This story, for me, sounds three notes. It first of all sounds a note of warning. What I'm about to say is tremendously old-fashioned. It is absolutely out of step with what people want to believe nowadays. It's out of step with the sort of charismatic preaching that has twisted the scriptures into making the gospel a get-rich-quick philosophy. There's a note of warning here, and against the love of money. As a young man, Matthew knew that this love, this lust for gold, ate right into his very soul. This is not something that lives in the periphery of a man's life. This is not something that can coexist with other great, noble purposes in life. Newspapers have been talking a lot these last days about this Michelangelo virus that's got into IBM PCs. If that virus gets into your PC, it does not coexist with anything else there. It begins to eat up everything. You may have the Bible loaded on there. It will eat it up. You may have many things of wonderful purpose on there. You may have many things that you have created out of a heart of love for God and man. It will eat them up. That, my friend, is a picture of the love of gold in a man's life. It never coexists with a love for God. It never coexists with a love for man. It never coexists with a desire to serve. It never coexists with a willingness to take up the cross and follow Jesus Christ. It would dethrone God and take over the reins of control in a man's life. It eats at him until he explains everything. He rationalizes everything. He interprets everything in the light of his love for gold. That's how it works. Nobody knew that better than Matthew. How could a young man brought up in Judaism with the mighty royal law of God drummed into him from the earliest days of his life, how could he become what he became? How could he do what he did? Very simply, he was so consumed with gaining money that he could rationalize anything. And he did. And he recognized that that love for money almost ruined him. It almost damned him. You know, it always does.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, We invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.